Well, it's a blessing to be with you this afternoon. I guess I could continue on where Jerry left off because he left his notes up here. So maybe you can vote which talk you want to hear. I'm fine. Yeah. It's good to be with you. This is our first time to come to the camp meeting here in West Virginia. So it's a real privilege. And it's really nice of all of you to come out and celebrate with Phoebe and I, because it was 46 years ago today, we stood at another pulpit and were married. So we'll share our anniversary with you. That's a great day. So we have, Phoebe and I, we have four children. And praise the Lord, they're all Adventists. And we have 10 grandchildren. And we're looking forward to general conference time because most of us all be together. Our son's going to be, he has the music. If you've seen some of the music from Fountain View Academy in British Columbia, the DVDs with the different videos and music, my son has that department there. And just the Lord really is blessed. And if you maybe in the Bible House, you can find the new Steps to Christ video that's just come out. Music and the whole book Steps to Christ is absolutely fantastic. And at General Conference, I think they're going to tell a story at how Elder Falkenberg was watching that on a 747 flying back from Asia and ended up the whole plane watching it with him. So that was a miracle. So an interesting story that's coming out. Well, we're happy to be with you, and this is a very practical time. It's going to be some hands-on for you each session, and the time that we have will move forward very quickly. But our job here today is to help you, to equip you as churches to be able to reach out into the community more effectively. You know, we have such a great privilege to be Seventh-day Adventists. Amen. In the day that we live in today, to know this message. I was a convert at 19 when I was in the Navy, and I am still marveling why I was so fortunate to know this message and be ready to accept it. And then through the years to see it more and more confirmed. This is the Remnant Church of Bible Prophecy. So it's a great privilege, but you know there's so many people out there that they don't know this message, and when we come knocking on their door or when we invite them to an evangelistic meeting, they're just afraid to come. I mean, when's the last time you went to a Jehovah's Witness church? So why should they come to those Adventist churches? We're just as bad, aren't we? Well, in their minds, we probably are. So we need to find a way to get to them. Now, we're told that the health message is the way to do it, right? And all of you in this class probably already, you know, you all already know these things. But even so, if you offer a cooking class, it's generally like 3 or 4 or 5 nights. If you offer to them a depression recovery seminar like we're doing this fall in my community, that's 8 sessions. If you offer them a reversing diabetes program like I just finished in our community, that's 16 sessions, 4 months. You know, that's a pretty hefty commitment to get strangers to make to Adventist people. And the reason we like the Health Expo is because it is more non-committal. You don't have to plan 3 nights or 5 nights or something like that. It's just, we're going to be doing it all day Sunday, drop in, no appointment needed, stay 10 minutes, stay an hour. And it's not very threatening to people. And besides that, many people are more and more concerned about their health, and they like screening programs. So this program is not a program of itself, just to do it. You could do it and bless people, and they'd be happy. But we use it as a door opener to open the door into other programs. Once you get the people in your screening place and they decide that you're pretty nice and you're pretty reasonable and you're pretty human, it's 10 times easier to sign them up for follow-up seminars. Do you see the point? When they're feeling good, when you've given them an anti-stress chair massage, when you've taken them by the arm and helped them to understand their blood pressure, they're a lot more likely to want to know more what you have to share. So that's the essence of why we're here, to share with you tools for health evangelism. Or lots of different ways I call it. Tools for soul winning health expos. Now, I'd like to share with you a little bit from a very familiar text in Matthew chapter 9, 35. I like to call this my A-B text. Now, if you get real technical, you could even call it an A-B-C text. But I group two similar things together just to make the point. So let's look at the scripture here, and it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages." Notice he went to New York City and West Virginia, right? He went to the highways and the byways. Every place is important. Teaching in their synagogues, A, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and B, what? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I like to emphasize this text by making it the A-B approach. And I like it, you know, it's the left hand and the right hand. And the spirit of prophecy talks about the right hand of the gospel, the medical missionary work. It's not medical work, it's medical missionary work. So it's broader. And so Jesus reached out and he preached the gospel and he'd heal people. Now, what order did he normally do it? What came first of those two? Usually the healing. It just happens to put it this other way in the text, but many other texts have it the other way around. And in practice, we see that Jesus would call people out. He would meet them. He would help them. He healed them. And then he had them sit down and listen to him. That's how medical missionary work works. Then Jesus didn't only follow this plan. He taught it to his disciples. He mentored them in the same plan, and we see that in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 10. And he says, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal," what? "All kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases." So that was the ministry that Jesus put in the hands of those simple fishermen, mostly, to be able to follow up his work when he would return to heaven. Then finally, we see one other step, just as examples, this time in Luke chapter 10, in verses 1 and 9, he also taught the 70. "And these, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he set them out two by two, and they did" what? "A, they would heal the sick and say to them, B, the kingdom of God has come near to you." I have found through the years working in health ministry that there's no easier time to approach people with spiritual information than when they've relaxed being helped physically. Does that make sense? They're disarmed. They've felt the touch of the Master's hands through your hands, and their hearts are open. The Holy Spirit can speak to them, and often the Holy Spirit will say to them, "This person, these people who are helping you, who are so on track with their health message, are on track with their spiritual message." Isn't it exciting when you think about how recently, in several different ways, Adventists continue to be highlighted in the media around the world? You know, whether it's the recent The Adventist story that just has been published as a documentary, or the National Geographic, and books that are written and research being done about the health of Seventh-day Adventists. Aren't you a little bit proud to be the healthiest people in all the country? And that's quite a privilege that we have a greater longevity than any of our neighbors. So that's amazing. Why, you know, and that was a survey done in Loma Linda. What if they'd done that survey in West Virginia, where you can really live, you know, where you have really fresh air and really fresh water? You know, even the statistics would be better. It's interesting, though, how the Lord
is opening doors.
Well, here's the things we'd like to share with you while we're with you. As I said, we want to show you and prepare you on how the Health Expo can open doors in your community. I'm going to show you some pictures in a minute where we've worked in different countries, but also in my local community. I want you to see that this kind of program could reach the cities and the villages, the great places and the little places and the medium places. And it's something that the lay people can do. It's a simple program, and it's a lot easier to invite people to a health program than it is to a Bible study. Not that we don't do that, but it's even easier to do this. How to organize the expo and practice the screening equipment and learn the anti-stress chair massage, and then talk about follow-up programs using the Abundant Living Health Talks, which we also publish, and we're excited to say they're going to be given to every single delegate at the General Conference. 20,000 people will get the Abundant Living Health Talks that I'll tell you about tomorrow. All right, so that's how we're going to, those are the things we're going to be covering. So if you understand, this is not just a theory class, but we'll be starting today to teach you hands-on how to do the anti-stress chair massage. That'll be today. And then tomorrow we'll get into session number two of the massage. You'll do it three times while we're with you so that you can take it home with you as something you know how to do. And you can do it in a health expo, or you can do it at someone's anniversary when someone's stressed and they just need to be relaxed. You'll know how to do it. So take it with you wherever you go. How they've opened doors, how health expos open doors around the world. It was back in Bucharest, far away from here in Romania, beautiful country of Romania. Anyone from that country, by the way? You find Romanians most every place. They haven't made it to camp meeting here yet, but they're coming, don't worry. They get around. And I was there helping to start a school. We had started in 96, the Hergelia Health Center, which is now one of our largest sanitariums in the world. And it started in 96, and in 99 we started the medical missionary school. We're told that wherever we have a sanitarium, we should have a medical missionary school and vice versa. And we have these in many different countries. And Mark Finley was just starting his 10 worldwide evangelistic series in major cities around the world called Acts 2000. And he was coming to Bucharest in early 2000, and he asked me, could I help him to put on a health expo? And of course, I love to do that kind of thing. I'd never run one of my own, but I'd been thinking about it, and I'd seen some of the materials that others had used. And so I said, yes, we could. In fact, the whole school here, we could come over to Bucharest, and we'll stay the month, and we'll help you. You know, we were screening 1,000 people a day. And almost every single person we screened would go into the auditorium and hear Mark Finley preach. Amen. So that's an immediate transition. Now I'm going to show you several ways to use the expo to transition people to an evangelistic meeting. But not everybody always is that ready to transition so quickly. If they come to a health program, they may not be ready the same night for a spiritual program unless they've been forewarned. But I'm here to tell you the details of how you make a difference so that you can use it effectively, because it really is effective. So we put together some banners there, and we trained our students how to do the anti-stress chair massage and other procedures, and the computer health age program, how old are you according to your health habits. And Phoebe helped Teeny Finley with the cooking class, had 500 in her class each night. There's Audie doing a body fat scale. You'll see all of these things and get a chance to try them out yourself. So we have a lot to do in our class each day. Here's one of our young men who's showing the little effects, the different toxins that's in cigarettes. And Doris, who was the nurse, has become the Union Health and Temperance Secretary for the Romanian Union after she took our training program. And it was there that I discovered the need to have good materials, because the Union Conference ended up spending nearly $20,000 just for those Health Expo banners that you see in the background that explain the 8 laws of health. And I said, oh my word, if it costs that kind of money to have some health information posted for people to make your Health Expo look attractive, our churches will never get to do this, right? And so the Lord placed a burden on my heart more than 10 years ago to find a way to economically print these materials so that all of our churches could afford them. And I'm happy to tell you that we have probably worldwide over 500 or 600 or 700 sets of 16 banners each all over the world in 40 different languages since this occasion. So the door has really been open for us, and we're just thrilled that He's not only helped us to design, develop, print, and sell the banners, but to be able to put together seminars to train our churches for the camp meeting programs like this. Well, it was about a year later that OCI, the umbrella organization, Outpost Centers International, was working together with their affiliates, Wildwood Lifestyle Center and Hospital, Yuchi Pines, Eden Valley, Living Springs in New York, a number of our restaurants, the Country Life restaurants. We teamed up together to go to Honduras to do some health evangelism followed by evangelistic series. And so we spread out all over the country of Honduras and had these health expos, and the media came out and took pictures, and I could just tell you story after story how the diplomats helped us because they were so impressed with our program to get our vehicles imported and solve visa problems. And we took the Honduran people by the arm, and we took their blood pressures, and we taught their young people how to do the anti-stress chair massage, and we did counseling together, and it was just fantastic. But we never dreamed we'd end up going to prison, well, to visit. But there was a psychologist that came through one of the expos, and when he saw it, he says, "You have to come to my prison. I am the physician of the largest penitentiary in Honduras, and we have to have your program." And it wasn't much telling him no. We were already busy in multiple locations. He brought a truck, he brought a bus, he took our banners, he took us, and into the prison we went. I learned afterwards that the Adventist Church had always been denied the permit to do a prison ministry until we did the expo. After we did the expo, the church was welcome too. Health expos, medical missionary work, opens doors. One of my young men there was a South African, Cabello, and he was in training right with us at that particular time and at Wildwood, and he was on this trip to Honduras. And the doctor said, "Oh, you can't leave. We've got more prisoners to screen." I says, "Listen, friend, I'm flying out of here in a day or two, and there's no way we can keep coming." And Cabello said to me quietly in the background, "If you'll let me extend my ticket, I'll stay. If they'll let me preach also." Do you think they'd do that? So I said to the doctor, "Well, I have a couple of my young men that will stay behind, but they want to know, could they also preach?" He said, "If they'll screen, they can preach." So they were able to preach, and that's what further, you know, opened the door for our pastor to need to come in there and follow up. And so Cabello stayed, and he had a wonderful time preaching there, and there was many of them responded. And within a couple of months' time, the local pastor was able to go in there and conduct baptisms in that penitentiary. Amen. So, you know, we never planned that, but God had it all planned when we were doing that expo. Here we are doing some screening programs in Dominican Republic. Another year later, conference secretary running the computer to do the health age appraisal. I'll show you that program on our third day. And the different stations. We see we set these health expo banners up as a backdrop to the tables that we're screening at. It gives you, with the community, a professional look immediately with the beautiful banners and your tables all fixed up and looking nice. And then in this case, we used a school, so we had different classrooms. Here we were on a mountain, and they had to erect their own little shelter to do it because the church wasn't big enough. The lady doing the body fat scale, she doesn't look like she needed it, but she wanted to find out just in case she had some extra fat. And it was interesting, our young people did the health lectures and actually preached the evangelistic series. This young lady is from Ukraine and was a student of ours at Wildwood. And then the young man here translating is locally from that island. And here's some of the preaching going on, the tents that we used. Well, those are some places in Central America that we were. Now, in Atlanta, where we're having the general conference a couple of years ago, ASI sponsored a youth series in conjunction with the ASI Youth for Jesus program. And they rented the Georgia Tech auditorium. It wasn't a large auditorium, probably held 300 or so people. And we came there and did the health screening program each night. We started off on, I believe it was a Wednesday night, and we asked Dr. Neil Nedley to come. How many know who Dr. Nedley is by now? And Dr. Nedley came, and we would do an expo for 1 hour. Then the second hour, we would invite people to come into the main auditorium to hear Dr. Nedley speak on some pertinent topic. So they had the two steps. In the foyer of the building, we had the expo. And here's our sign advertising it out in front. And the brochures we used. They used two brochures, one for the evangelistic series on the left, and one for the health series. They were afraid in Atlanta, in the heart of the Bible Belt, to put the two together. They wanted to send the health one out a week ahead of time and get people alerted, but they didn't want to send the evangelistic one out until the Monday after a Sunday, so there wouldn't be time to warn the people from the Sunday pulpits. And so it's interesting, and they printed twice as many of the evangelistic ones, because that's the most important thing, you know. But you'll see whether that was wise or not. And then the people came to the Health Expo. And they liked the Health Expo, but almost nobody came from all the evangelistic brochures. We figured maybe 15 total came from the other brochure, but several hundred came for the Health Expo. We brought them then, after an hour of expo, into the auditorium part for an hour of health. So that was Wednesday night and Thursday night. Thursday night, we told them, now tomorrow night, don't miss it, we're having a doubleheader talk. Dr. Nedley's going to speak on a certain topic, and our health and our other speaker, usually the man introducing the health speaker, is the pastor. And he's going to be speaking on the spiritual aspects of your health. So tomorrow night on Friday night, we're covering both the physical aspects of your health and spiritual aspects. Don't miss tomorrow night. So that's how we transitioned that. And so on Friday night when they came, we had an hour of screening, and then we went into the auditorium, and Dr. Nedley went from an hour's lecture down to 15 minutes, and the evangelist had 35 minutes. And that's how we moved into the other meetings. Dr. Nedley dropped out after that. Some of us picked it up from there and did the health nuggets each night, those shorter ones, just ahead of the evangelistic series. And that health nugget series is the one I referred to, called the Abundant Living Health Talks, which will be available, and we'll show you that in tomorrow. So here they are in the foyer and the different screening that they were doing. This is one of the pastors who had learned to do the anti-stress chair massage. And the young people helping with the ASI Youth for Jesus, they love doing this. ASI does health expos every year. The General Youth Conference people, Generation for Youth, they do it every year. They use these materials. They're being used everywhere. Here's your screening program so that you could... People are fascinated by things that run through the computer. So we asked them 6 health questions about their lifestyle, put that information in the computer, and 30 seconds later, we tell them how old they really are according to their health habits rather than their chronology. And they're either younger or older according to how they do. And we'll show you that program also. So, and then they have a time where they get some health screening. Here's the body fat scale and so forth. That was down in Atlanta. Well, here at Wildwood in Georgia, they have a country store. And on the country store, if you've ever been there, there's a long sidewalk or front porch that runs the full length of the building out about 10 feet. And it's got a covering over it. A little part of the roof goes over it. And they just set the expo up there every year because we like to do something for the community. And like Pastor Bogus was talking to us just before we started, you know, that next year they're going to probably open this up instead of just having a screening program for you folks, to open it up to the whole community to come in here and give them a howdy, huh? Have them come in here and get acquainted, see this beautiful property, and try out some of your screening programs. And who knows, maybe they will linger and hear more. That would be something, wouldn't it? So that would be nice. So here we are, the community's coming on a Sunday afternoon for the Health Expo. And so they're going through the different screening programs. I'm just going to go through it quickly. Then there's my home church. Now, I live about an hour out of Chattanooga in a little town called Dunlap. I live up on the mountain, Cago Mountain. But my community is just a small community. If you go count people out in the woods, you've got 5,000 people maybe in the area. So it's a little bit of West Virginia. It's so nice and beautiful and rural and quiet. And the town is just a friendly little town, just a main street going through town. And so if you get to put your program, I try to do my health programs in public buildings. Because if I do them on my church, I usually cut my audience in half. You know, I don't usually go to Mormon churches or Jehovah's Witness churches, and why should I expect people to come to my church if we're strangers? So it's not wrong to do it in your church, but if your church is not well identified as really being friendly to the community, you'll cut your audience in half usually, if not worse. So I always try to use a public venue. There's a time I can get them to the church. I don't worry about that. Getting them to the church doesn't save them, to the physical building. But if I can get to be friends with them and get in their home with a Bible study, I'll get them to church eventually, so that doesn't worry me. But I'll never get them to church if I don't get to be friends with them, right? So that's the step. Anyway, here's Dunlap. I'll just show you a few pictures. It's not called Main Street. I wished it were. It's called Rankin. There's another street called Main Street. That was the old street. But anyway, this is our Main Street. And you can see just a simple little sign down here, Health Expo. Now, in small communities, you have a tremendous advantage that you don't have in the big cities. It's easy to get the word out to the community. You have little shoppers, right? Little local papers, the Dunlap Tribune, everybody gets it. So and the community page, everybody reads it. So it's so easy. Now, when I helped Mark Finley recently, he came to Chattanooga again, and I worked a year ahead with him. We did 4 simultaneous health expos throughout the city. It was just a pain to get the news coverage that we needed. Why? Because there's so many people vying for the airwaves. There's so many channels and TV stations and radio stations and frequencies. So even if you get on one, you might not find hardly anyone. But in a little town, take advantage of it. You've got a great opportunity. I personally determined, now that I don't travel so much as I did overseas, to be more active in my own community. So I'm on the county health department's health council. It's a volunteer position. We meet every month, but every month we have lunch together, and you get to know people informally that way. And so through the year or two that I've been doing this, I'm now a friend. I'm not just a stranger. I'm a part of their team, because I've got on that health council, we've got all the nurses from the community, all your social workers, your mental health workers, your school nurses. They're all meeting there at once a month meeting, and they start talking about their needs. And we're able to help them with a lot of their needs. And we help them when the Cancer Society does a screening program. We bring our materials in right alongside of them and do it because it's a nice place to touch base with them. And then we can invite people that we meet there into our other follow-up programs where it's us in charge. You see how it is that it can integrate so easily. So this was the area that we did it in. We used the City Hall Training Center room there. This is the front of it. It was one time a hardware store, and you know what? It's about as big as this room, just not as wide, maybe about half again as wide, but almost as long as this. We can do anything we want in there. And I've used it month after month after month. My name is almost on the building. And because we're a nonprofit, they waive the $50 charge per night. And I used it for 4 months just recently. I just finished 4 months of reversing diabetes seminars. And I used it every single week for free. So it's downtown. It's easy for people to find it. So that's the building there. Parking's in the back. And here's the folks coming in, and they're going through our screening program, and we'll just go through these quickly. These are our church members. They got our little vests on. I'll show you those again another day. Tomorrow I'll try to get in a little early and get set up here and show you some of our, we'll have one on a table. You'll see some of our materials. So they're screening. Here's how your blood pressures they're taking. There's my famous wife. Sure enjoyed getting, being married to her all these years. And our church members. That man nearest you taking a little stick of blood there, see the white-haired fella? The man that he's doing it on with the little striped shirt is my neighbor up on the mountain, not an Adventist, but are coming to church on a fairly regular basis. And so he's having his blood sugar and cholesterol taken. Here's Herb Ingersoll, was in our self-supporting work years ago in Beautiful Valley, and he did pastoral work for a number of years. He's retired. Our church members love this program because they just feel it's something they can do. You know, the nurses feel at home. We can teach teenagers how to run the computer health age appraisal. They already know how to run computers. We don't have to teach them that. They love to do it. And the body fat scale, you can learn that in 5 minutes. I mean, these are simple things. So from teenagers to whatever age, you can get involved in doing a health expo. We have some of our ladies taking care of the younger children, doing things with them so their parents can go through the expo. If you have a doctor, a professional person that can join in and add an extra activity, for instance, here's one of our retired pathologists, Dr. Nelson, and she's showing them specimens. Why? She's an expert. She's a pathologist. And she can tell you all the reasons this lung cancer got this person or the brain cancer and all about it, you see. And look how intently the people are interested. So it just adds, and if you can list that in your brochure, all the different varieties. And then there's always a place for the kids to do stuff. And in a section of Adult Expo, we find a corner for the kids. And now we actually have the Children's Expo, which is fantastic. And they put on the body vest, and they have all the little Velcroed body parts they can talk about. They just have a good time doing this and trying to walk the line with the temperance goggles. You're going to get to do that. I'm going to check you out before we leave here. And there's them doing that. So you can see the children are involved, and our folks are involved doing different things. There's the exercise step test. And a different one doing it there. Here's the massage. We have a ladies' table and a men's table, and we just put some pillows on the table, and they lay their head on the pillow, and you take over and give them 5 to 10 minutes, depending how busy it is, and they just love it. And then they go on, and they eventually, before they leave, they sign up for some follow-up health programs. Now, just to give you an example, in this little health expo in Dunlap, Tennessee, we scheduled it from 11:30 to 4. 11:30 on Sunday when people were getting out of church. And we made it very clear we had lots of healthful snacks for them to try out, healthful food and recipes to go with it, so they could come right from church up to 4 o'clock. We hoped to get about 100 people for our first health expo. We got 200. So we were very, very happy for that small community. We signed up that day for two programs that were coming immediately afterwards. This is the key. If you do an expo, you don't say to the people, now, eventually, someday, we're going to have a stop smoking program. Would you be interested? When someday? Oh, and we're thinking about a cooking school. You've just killed your opportunity. You need to have a date set. You had the whole year planned. So the expo kicks it off. And so you can tell them, this Friday evening starts the stop smoking program. Do you know anyone who needs to stop smoking? 11 people signed up. That Friday night, 7 of them were there. That was pretty good, I thought. It's hard to get hardcore smokers out today. Most people who are going to quit smoking have already quit smoking, and the rest decided they're not going to make it. So it's hard to get them out. So that's a hard program to run. But 7 people came out. That was good. All right, we signed up 50 people. 25% of them signed up for the cooking class. We started that 2 weeks later, and we had 54. And it grew to 80 later on. So it opened the door. All we do is tell the people, can we take your name and phone number? We already got their information because they hadn't filled out a paper with it. Could you mind if we just give you a reminder call? You're not obligated to come. And then most of them will say, sure, it's fine. And so we give them one phone call to remind them of the program they signed up for. And if they come, they come. So that's what we do. That's another way we do it. I'll be giving you tomorrow a printed handout that'll have a lot of the points in it for you as well. So here we are. This is our head deacon doing an anti-stress chair massage. And different ones doing it. This man was in a wheelchair. And he was pretty wheelchair bound. He wasn't even able to get into the chair. So we just did his massage on the wheelchair. He had a powered wheelchair. So different ones are getting involved. And really they were blessed. You know, you have blessed the community, but you're blessed when you're doing it. Here's someone doing some screening. And here's the computer health age table, signing people up and so forth. Okay, we're going to be shifting gears in just a minute. I'm going to finish. This is one of our physicians. We're blessed to have several physicians in our church. And they're very good at health counseling. They're right on board. So we're able to use them as our health counselors. If you don't have physicians, you have nurses or a health educator or someone who practices the 8 laws of health consistently. They can prepare to be able to do the health counseling. And so this is how it worked out together. And then I think we have where we had the food samples for them as well. Looks interesting. There we are. Any questions that you might have about the Health Expo before we transition? Elizabeth. Can you hear her in the back? Oh, there's one. She has a microphone.
We have a friend in New York who just did her first health expo, very similar to this. And the one mistake that she did was what he mentioned, to do it in a neutral location. They did it at the church instead. And they got not one person.
Oh, that hurts.
The one person that came was her best friend that she begged to come. And her friend came and helped out to set up and so forth. Uh-huh. And I have some good news. I went into town, and I would have been here before, but I stopped by the post office. And I got talking with the post office lady, and I told her that next year we're going to be doing a health expo for the community, and we're going to hold it here at the camp. And she was saying nice things about Tim Engelmeyer, and she was saying, well, that would be really nice. And I said, yeah, the people can come and spend the day. We have a pool here, and we have a beautiful setting. And she was like, wow, that'd be nice. And then her arm was hurting her. And I said, well, we have a massage therapist that maybe she can, maybe you can come over and she'll massage you. And she says, no, yeah. I have somebody that I know that knows massage. And I said, well, maybe I can get their number so we can use them to be one of our massage therapists. And she says, oh, they would love that. So we really got talking. So she said it would be something that the community, she believes, is going to enjoy.
Great. Any other questions? Yes, in the back. Elizabeth.
I have a question.
Oh. Okay. I went through the pictures quickly, and I just barely mentioned that one slide with osteoporosis. We have done bone density. I don't have a bone density machine, but someone else did, one church members, they brought it. And here's how we look at it. If you want more fish, use more fish hooks. So the broader you make your expo, the better. Now we're going to talk to you about the basic 8 stations there are for a health expo that is sort of standard in any expo you would normally, you'd expect to do blood pressures, wouldn't you, at any kind of screening program. That's one of them. Okay. We will show you 8 altogether. But our point is that if you can add bone density screening, there's number 9. If you have a dermatologist in the area And he will come and do some just facial screening and hands and faces. There's number 10. If you've got a dentist that you can have come and do just some health information, there's number 11. And on it goes. So any other area that you could add is fine. Now the medical liabilities for like the step test. We do have a disclaimer paper, and it's some expo people use it and some don't. But if you're worried about the legal aspect, we do have a page. It comes with the manual, not the manual I give you, but the full manual. And it asks the people if they have any history of any heart disease at all. Have they ever had angina? Have they ever, been treated for anything heart-wise? And it's got quite a few questions. If they answer yes to any of those, we take the option then to say that we're not equipped medically to handle perhaps an emergency, and we'd rather you just go ahead and do the other stations and perhaps do this kind of a test with your physician. Now, in reality, I do want to add this. I have done the step test from east to west and north to south and around the world, and I've yet had any problem. But it could happen. I'm just telling you, I've done hundreds and hundreds of them. And someday someone's going to have a mistake, a problem. We never push people to go the full 3 minutes. It's just a simple 9-inch step that they're going at a regular pace, a timed pace, and we'll demonstrate it to you on the third day that we're here, on Wednesday. And some of you will get to do that. So if you see the person huffing and puffing, you just offer them a way out, and you just say, Mrs. Jones, you're doing great, but it looks like it might be better if we just finish it, but you sit down, I'll catch your pulse now, and we'll see how you did. And just make it easy for them to quit. Okay? Any other question? Steve?
Yeah, how would you maybe make this health expo, promoting it or whatever, stand out from, the other ones that are done by the HMOs or the Pfizer?
Uh-huh. There are other people doing screening programs, and so how would you make this stand out differently? That's a good question. I look at a whole year's calendar, and I know that every October, for instance, in my community, the Sequatchie Valley Electric Co-op sponsors an adult expo, and I help them. I volunteer my services. I go do it with them. But then they are very interested in helping me. So I would just, number one, I will look at the calendars and find a different time. Because if I can at least park at a different time of the year when they're not doing it, then I'm not going to compete with them. Again, if I'm in a small community, if I have good advertisement, none of them are going to have health samples. None of them will have food samples. They usually have, they give out candy, if anything. And what? And pills, yeah. But so there is some overlap, but we do have a broader program generally than they can offer. So we just have to see each community.
What about at the fairs?
Health fairs. Now the health fair.
Not health fairs, like at county fairs.
Yeah, the county fair. All right. Usually in a county fair, you get a booth. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah. Can we do the health expo, something smaller, on a smaller
yes.
scale?
What we do is we take maybe three of the banners and go to a health fair because you're limited to a 10-foot square area or an 8-foot even, but usually 10 feet. So I put up maybe three banners, and there I would do the peak flow meter and the body fat scale 1 year. Next year I would do computer health age appraisal with some different banners of the set. And every year I could switch it out and rotate for over 3 or 4 year period of time, something different every time. Yes. Uh-huh, it's very popular. Yeah, this is a computer health program that we've put out, and it's in multiple languages in case you need it for Hispanics or whatever. You just can switch the program very easily. And it's really a nice program. It's based on a scientific study done, the Breslow study, and it's a good study, and it opens the door for doing some health counseling right away. Okay, are you ready to learn something that you can take home with you, personal? How about a little anti-stress chair massage? We'll take the next 15 minutes, and we'll try to do it. We'll see if we can do it, one on you and one on the person doing it you. Now, here's how we do it, and you might as well practice this way. We like the men to do the men and the women to do the women in our programs, because it just, if you don't, and it's easy to do that without looking like you're some stuck-up person. You got all the women at one table and all the men at another table. It's pretty obvious what you're doing, you see. But you get this young guy coming, and he spots the prettiest girls, and he wants to go over there and says, "Oh, I hear you're doing massages." And she'll say, "Yes." She doesn't just say, "But I don't do the men." She'll just say, "Yes, we do." And she just walks him over to the men's table and sits him down and gets one of the guys to do it. Now here, if you're married and you want to do your spouse, that's fine. We have no problem. But otherwise, it's nice that the men will do the men and the women do the women. What you're going to need to do then is sit where one of you can be in the seat and one of you behind the seat. And it's not ideal. If you can get at the end of the row and sit a little sideways, we're going to do the back of the neck and the shoulders and some down the back. You ready? You want to try it? You don't have to do it, but this, and we're, Phoebe's giving a handout. Maybe someone can help you, Phoebe, to pass them out on the, oh, I guess you have, are the handouts all getting around? This is a one-page, two-sided handout that you can use for years to come. And if you lose it and you want to get another one, just you can download it off our website for free. All of our handouts are for free. And it's a beautiful thing to have for your ministry. You never know where you need it. I was in an airplane one time flying overseas with some of our folks from Wildwood, and one of our nurses is those holy boldness kind. I'm more bashful. But she went up to the stewardesses, and she said, "Now, if any of you take a break and want a massage, I'm available. I'm a nurse, and I could give you an anti-stress chair massage right on the plane." And you know what? One of them tried her out. It was so good, she did all the rest of the stewardesses before they landed. She was up all night doing massages. So be careful who you offer it to. You never know. Okay. Okay. So Phoebe's going to do Elizabeth. If you'll, some of you are standing behind each other, that's good. How about the rest of you? You want to do it? Go ahead and just stand behind someone. And, okay. Okay. Well, let's see. Then her back, maybe, no, just rotate half a turn so that you're sideways, perhaps would be better. Oh, yeah, did you get your notes?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, all right. I thought I'd just carry on your notes for you, Jerry, when you left them up here, but I resisted the temptation. I didn't want to steal your thunder. Okay. That's fine. All right. The first stroke that you're going to do is the easiest one. It has fancy names. I think it's French. Someone tell me. Effleurage. Is that a French name? Effleurage? I should find it out sometime. Sounds like it, doesn't it? All right, effleurage. Phoebe, would you show us effleurage? So she's taking the whole hand, her whole palms of her hand, right? And she's going over the shoulders and up the shoulders and a little bit down the back. And it's just kind of, it just gets the blood going a bit, right? And don't be a pansy about it. You know, get some weight on there. You're not digging in. Your hands are flat. And this is how we get started. Okay? Right, I'm going to get there. Okay, so that, now what's nice about effleurage is so easy to do it that while you're sort of knowing you need to transition, if you can't remember what to do next, you just do a little bit more of that while you look at your notes, okay? So it's not a big deal. And even if you're doing a health expo for the public, who cares if you have your note on the table? If you don't have it memorized the first few expos, that's no problem. Nobody cares. All right, so then you're going to switch to the neck. And this is called the shoulder neck petrissage, and it's a kind of kneading. If you watch Phoebe, she's going to show you how we do it along the neck. So you start on one side of the shoulder and gently massage that area. So it's a kind of a kneading. And then she switches to the other side, and she's going across the back with just the fingertips in an eating type of a position. Pardon? And then the palm and fingers kind of together. Can you see her okay? She's moving around so that you can see her. Once you start the massage, by the way, don't take your hands off the people. If you have to look at your notes, do it with your eyes, but always leave a hand on the person. It leaves them feeling kind of funny if you've started something good and suddenly you're raptured. You know, even for 30 seconds, it seems strange. So you always keep your hands. You're communicating with them, by the way, I care about you. Does that make sense? The language of the hands is very, very important. All right, so the third thing we do is called palm friction, and that's done on both sides of the spine, but one side at a time. So in this case, you step to the side a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry, and in between, I forgot, we need to coast into effleurage. Okay, so between each step, we do a little effleurage, which just stirs things around very nicely. All right, you ready for the other? All right, so now we go over to palm friction. And using just the palm part of your hand in circular motion, start up by the shoulder along the spine and gradually work your way down toward the waist. Then you gradually work your way back up. And just keep moving right along. And you, if time allows, you could do this about twice on that side. And then down again. You have to kind of, you'll get used to it. You can do everything I'm showing you in 5 minutes. 10 minutes is a lot easier, and of course they like it. But if you're at General Conference and you see us at the OCI Village doing this, and there's 100 people waiting, you don't do it for 10 minutes. We've done this several times at General Conferences, and we're doing it this year at General Conference. And so we'll do hundreds and hundreds of delegates at the General Conference. So we have to be very careful, the timing. And you do too, because you don't want people to get upset waiting so long for a turn. But if you're not real busy, give them 10 minutes. They'll love it. Okay? Now, well, you're back to the same. When you switch sides, you notice she swung around completely. You're not trying to do this like this. It's easier to get the pressure if you're doing it to the side, not straight behind them. All right, let's go into effleurage again. Remember that palm action all over the back and shoulders. Kind of just smooth them out a little bit. And then the next thing we're going to do is called digital friction, starting with the thumb on one side of the neck and your index finger, middle finger on the other side, and rub the neck muscles with a circulating motion friction. So you start right at the base of the skull, like she's doing, and using her thumb on one side and her other fingers on the other side, and she's massaging those nerves and muscles along the neck. You know, we're stiff-necked people. I mean, everybody has stiff necks these days. So it's very nice to have that. Okay, so you went up to the skull, the crown of the skull, and then you come back down again. Okay, once you've done that for about 2 minutes or a minute and a half, then you switch to effleurage one more time. Smooth it out, peek at your notes while you're coming the next place, and then you're going to go to Tapotement. This is an interesting one to use. If you watch Phoebe now, this is where you want your wrist to be very rubbery. Otherwise, you're beating them if your wrists are stiff. But you want to have a... Okay? Don't go more than halfway down the back because it's not good to do that on the kidneys. But just stay halfway up and work both sides. Again, you don't do it straight behind them. You get sideways to them. So you can do it this way, and then you switch, and you get sideways so you can do it that way, and go up and down the back several times. We're getting near the end of our first session of chair massage, and so when she finishes now, she goes from that sensation back to effleurage for one last time. So go over the effleurage, get down those shoulders, almost lift the shoulders up as you come back with your palms, and down the back, And then you transition into what we call nerve vibration. And it gets to be a very, very light and lighter stroke, which really tells them we're just about finished. They kind of understand. And that's how we end the 5 minutes. Now, we want you to try this again tomorrow and the next day, but right now, if you would just do a switch, let's go ahead and let your partner do it and receive it.
Uh-huh. That are willing to help.
Okay. Okay. All right. Do you have your notes nearby where you can look at them too sometimes as I go through this with you? And then you can kind of see what I'm talking about. So what are we going to start with first of all? Effleurage, okay? So go over those shoulders, down the arms a little bit, pull back up on them as you come, it feels good, and then down the back as you kind of keep rubbing, and let the palms of your hands is what you're doing it with. Okay, then we shift into step number two, shoulder and neck petrissage. That's a kneading. With one hand on each shoulder, knead the nape of the neck, moving the hands laterally to the shoulders and then back again. Yeah, using the palms, that's right. Not your fingertips, but the palms. Using the flat of the hand is very nice. It feels very, very good. Go over each of the shoulders. How did you rate two people doing you? That's pretty good. Going to cause some jealousy here. All right, and transition from that into effleurage, right? Go through your effleurage, over the back, up, down the shoulders. All right, then the palm friction is the third thing. Using the heel of your hand, going down one side of the spine, starting at the top, and working down toward the waist. Using the palm of your hand almost like it was a ball. And then just circular motions as you work down the back. And remember, if you're sideways, you can put pressure. If you're just straight on, it's very hard to do that. But when you're sideways, you can hold some pretty good pressure there. Go down the back and up, down and up again. Then rotate sides and go down the other side and up again, down again, and up again. You may feel a little awkward the first time you do it, like you're all fingers or all thumbs, but by the time we do the third session, you'll be a lot different. You'll be surprised how quickly. And when you sleep on it tonight and think about it and do it again tomorrow, it'll go. All right, let's switch to digital friction with your thumb on one side of the neck and your fingers and index fingers on the other side. You cross the neck and you massage from the base of the neck up to the base of the skull. Just using a circular motion as you come up the base, up the neck, and then back down again, and up again, and down again. Does it feel good? Okay. When you're done with that, I see some pink on Phoebe's neck. It looks like she's getting more blood there. That's good. That's a healthy sign. Let's go to effleurage. Smooth it out. Smooth it out. Use the flat of your hands and go all over. Give them some pressure on it so they know you're there. It just really feels good to get those muscles stroked. And next we're going to go to tapotement. And that's going to be on the upper part of the back. Using the sides of your hands. Very rubbery-like. This is something you should practice tonight on your pillow or on your knee. You know, you can practice on your own knee. And feel it. And you don't go way down the back here because you don't want to do the kidneys usually, but just do the upper back. But you understand how you could do this on yourself. You could practice on your knee, and then you can get a see how it, not just how it feels, but to get that rubberiness that you want to have. Okay? Go fairly fast if you can, but not hard on them. These are just, it actually results in a fairly light touch. You could even practice on a table because you're not hitting it that hard if you keep it rubbery. Okay? Now when you finish that, you'll be ready for effleurage and so will they. Let's do effleurage. And after that's done, you transition to the nerve strokes, very light fingertip strokes down around the back several times with your fingertips. And that's how you'll transition. Now, as you just are quiet and you're thinking about it, sometimes if we do if we did this or its equivalent in one of our sanitariums, we often pray with our patients before a treatment. Some of our people like to pray with people when they do this. I'm a little hesitant to do that in the public, or if I'm doing an expo. People didn't come for the praying part of it. They didn't come. They don't think about that being there. So sometimes we move too quickly. So I would recommend generally, in this kind of a situation with a 5-minute massage, it doesn't need to have prayer. Not that it be right or wrong, but I have to think of what's best for the person. And I want to look at the long-range plan, not just the immediate. If I turn them off right away, there's no long-range plan. So it's nice just to go ahead and do it. All right? Any last questions you have about the massage or anything we've covered today? Yes. Sure, I'll be here to ask afterwards. All right. Yes, sir. Yes. My wife and I were talking about that. Phoebe's a graduate from Paradise Valley Hospital. When she took nursing, all patients got back rubs. And we were just reminiscing about the other day. It sure has changed today. Now you push a button, the nurse says, "What do you want?" You know, and it's not the personal touch that it used to be.
They used to enjoy it.
Yeah, and the nurses did it. Not just the aides, but the nurses would do it. So it was really very special. That was an Adventist hospital. Yeah. Yeah, it's different today. All right, any other questions? What time are we going to meet tomorrow? 4:00. So 4:00 tomorrow. We have tomorrow and we have Wednesday. And then our class on Thursday is going to be... We're doing a practice expo. You're going to do an expo Thursday. How about that? Okay. Hey, can't beat that, having the teenagers come, and we'll do the screening for it. We'll do the screening. They be our guests. Let's stand and have prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, it's been a blessing to be here at the camp meeting and to have this first hour together now as we begin to explain how this very simple tool has opened the doors to communities all over this country and many places around the world, even very sensitive places. Lord, I pray that the folk here will be able to be guided through your Spirit and to see and picture how this could be done in their own community, and that it would help them to open the doors to others' programs and finally to the Three Angels message. We have so little time, and there's so many people, Father, that don't know this message, but they're not ready for it, but they might be ready for the health part. Please help us to be wise stewards, to gain good tools that we can be able to truly help to hasten the coming of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.